Good morning, everybody. It's 9 o'clock on Thursday, August 1st, 2019. I can't believe it's August already.
Aye.
We are gathered for the administrative workshop meeting in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room. And first up on our agenda, we have our elected official, our treasurer, Eve Arce. And welcome. We did our semi-annual reports this morning.
Yes.
The first one is order number 2019-049 in the matter of uncollectible personal property taxes pursuant to ORS 311370. And then followed by that, we'll have the semi-annual meeting with the Board of Commissioners as required by the Josephine County Investment Policy. Good morning.
Good morning. So the first one, the uncollectible personal property, it's something that statute allows us to do, and we try to do it every year. We get to where we have business personal property and manufactured structure personal property that we try everything we can for collecting them, and if they just don't pay, we do have the policy that we don't write the taxes off until assessment deletes the account. Assessment knows they're gone. So then we continue our collection efforts until it's just like, okay, we've wasted enough time and money. Let's just go ahead and write them off. I don't know if you have a sheet. I've got a sheet here where it's basically, we have more business personal property that we have to write off, that we do write off, than we do manufactured structures. Right now, there's several restaurants that came and went. They got put on the roll. We never got any collection of them. They're gone by the time. And if it's incorporated or an LLC, we basically have no recourse to go after a person for it. We can't transfer it to any real property. The only thing we can do is go to the UCC and file up there with them, and they've actually made it so that tax collectors can file with the UCC, but it places a lien, but there's really no enforcement, does really nothing for us.
When that person, for instance, a restaurant, mm-hmm. and they blow it off and you put something, does that go on their record so the next time they apply for a restaurateur's license with the state, they say, sorry, you've got this? Does it follow through, or is it because they're a corporation, do they just start another corporation and start all over again?
Yeah, exactly. If they started the same corporation, you might be able to.
Right, but no, they don't. In fact, on my list here for restaurants, it was the Tokyo Teppanyaki and Salt. Same guy.
Same building.
Same building, yep. Same equipment, different
Wasn't
names.
There a Blue Monkey in there somewhere?
And then Blue Monkey...
I know, right?
Missed it because
those are all catchy names of places I would like to go eat.
Are you sure?
I think you should wait until you get a health report.
Or they pay their taxes.
The Blue Monkey missed it because they opened after January 1st and closed before before the next January 1st. So they weren't.
They hit a window.
They did. But it's also sad that, I mean, this guy tried three different names and couldn't make it go.
It's a tough location.
It is.
I think it's
only
just
Sambos can make it. And that's
and that was 4 years ago, so.
A long time ago.
First day of school we used to go.
Just a point of interest, there's a Sambos restaurant in Lincoln City. In Lincoln City. We wanted to have breakfast there, but the parking lot was full and it was like a 2-hour wait for breakfast.
Wow.
That's cool.
But it is in Lincoln City on the right-hand side.
You know how you go off to a conference and you hear all the vendors and you go, oh, those are fun toys, and that's an interesting concept and software and stuff like that. And several of them were in helping collect taxes for some of them were very interesting. One in particular was just using different search networks to contact people. Is that anything you'd ever be interested in having passed along to you to look at?
We do that.
Okay.
We have anything legal I need to look up. I have Beecher. But we have a lot of search engines ourselves that we use. I have subscriptions to a couple that help us find it. We have the business name registry. We search through that, the UCC filings. So we have that, and we do employ all of that to try to get these collected.
What's UCC?
Uniform Commercial, it has the commercial code. I want to UCC, commercial code, maybe, I'm not sure, but it's basically where you can file liens against corporations.
Oh, okay.
So once we file a lien there, but it also comes to the same thing. If they just close that and open another one, and we can file the lien there, but there is no really good enforcement of it. But it's just a notification.
Is that just Oregon-wide, or is that
nationwide? That's just Oregon. If there's anything like that, we have with bankruptcies, we work kind of the same way as we get information from Delaware and wherever the corporation is filed. We get that if it comes through a bankruptcy or where the bankruptcy is filed.
So I'm just curious about the one that's third down on the second page. It looks like the last Epperson.
Oh, Epperson.
What's that story? Because it looks like the last tax year was 2011, but it's 96 to 2011.
Yeah. Well, do you know Ralph Cope?
Is the 609, is that a culmination of all those years?
Yes, that's the total owed of the tax.
Okay, so
not including the interest. Okay, so the deal with that was it's 777 Jewett Creek Road. It was a mining claim. He had basically three manufactured structures on that piece of property. May Epperson was originally the owner on that. And he also had one, and we finally bullied him, tracked him down, harassed him to make $20 a month payments. And he was paying on his, and we were making sure he was paying on the Epperson Mobile also because we knew he was in possession of it. Well, he finally paid his off, and then he said, screw it. We're past being able to, since the taxes are old, and there is nothing new. We can't lien him for anything else. All we can do is call in and harass him. The account has been deleted, and he's off the map now. I'm not going out there, for one thing. And no phone.
Dan said he'd go with you.
I'm in charge of the armory.
Okay, I'll be in the car behind with the camera.
There you go. Yeah.
Driver, so, armory. Yes.
So we got to the point where we've just got to write it off. We did our due diligence on it. We've spent a lot of time and effort on this, and it's got to the point where...
So we're not foreclosing it.
We cannot foreclose these. Because they are personal. The only
They're not tied to the property.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. I have a question here. Mm-hmm. It says total revenue, and it's $1,607.92. But then we get to the list, and I'm assuming this list is the ones we're all writing off?
The list is what we're writing off, which is a total of $11,484.43. Right.
And then we get to page two.
That's the loss to the county.
Okay.
That is how much money, if I could collect all of this, if I could collect it, that's how much we would get.
Okay, and that's our 7.5% or whatever
or
the 5. County gets.
0.58, blah,
the
blah,
other,
blah, blah.
But the total is
11,000,
which you would have to share with the schools and with all the other districts involved.
Right.
Okay.
So all of our efforts,
so our share
into,
of it is 16. Okay, that's
yeah. If we put this in connotation, we're putting all of our efforts into this collection. For $1,700.
Right, and I didn't know where the 1607 came from, but that clarifies it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So it comes down to when do we stop throwing good money after bad?
Yeah. So I see that you've put a request for an order, and that Wally and you have both signed it.
Yes.
But they didn't follow up with.
The order
isn't actually here.
Well, I have a copy of it. if you need it.
Yeah, we don't have the order, which is interesting. So I will follow up with how it got in here without the order.
Okay.
But the order, I assume I can pass this to you both, that you have no objection to this moving to the admin next Wednesday.
No,
I don't have any objection.
So it's just not in our packet today.
Makes perfectly good sense. Yeah.
Make sure that I forward it on or to the attached it.
So yeah. Make it.
Okay. All right, so for our treasurer's report.
Yeah, Dan said he actually read it this month. I'm so proud.
Wow. How to win friends and influence people.
Yes.
Thanks.
Oh,
yeah.
I think. This is a lot.
I think.
Yeah. This is actually just a compilation of everything that I do every month. And you guys get to see it twice a year.
So, yeah, interest rates have gone up.
No, they're going to go down.
Are they?
Well, yeah, yeah,
because of the change with the
Fed just met, and so they dropped it a 25 basis points, a quarter of a percent. And I was actually just talking to one of my investment guys, and we went over, you know, it's just like, cause you can see on the investment analysis report, or investment cash on other accounts, whatever this is. Most of my interest on my investments, they started out at about 1%, and I've ended up with a couple that are my highest right now is 2.8, which is basically going to carry, since I had to ladder them out, I have 3-year window of this, so I've laddered them out, so my investments now will carry a higher rate than what the pool will, because I'm sure the pool is going to be dropping in the next couple of weeks, because right now the pool is still at 2.75. So most of the money sits there because that's quick, easy, good interest, and good liquidation. If we need the money, we can get it out.
Do you have any short-term ones that you, for short holdings? We're going to be given some money that we're not going to be spending straight away, but within a year or two.
Most of that I believe in the pool, because the pool, I get the same rate no matter how long the money is there.
Okay.
So that's why I keep most of it there.
You can pull it out anytime.
No penalties or anything.
Okay.
And I usually keep 10 to 12 investments that are laddered over 3 years. So it really depends on what the interest rates are, how the pool is looking. Do I want to put more money in there, ladder it out? If I can get something good. The top three just matured. I reinvested another $1 million. I will be doing another $1 million in about a month. Checking to see where the interest rates are.
So you'll have a job another month.
Just kidding. Yeah, it's another hour phone call. What do I want to do this time?
Yeah.
What's out there? Is there anything good?
Is it going to put us in a spot with the changes in the interest?
No. Because it's going to be incremental, and that's actually why I keep some in the pool, most of it in the pool, good interest rates. If the pool starts dropping, you move it to investments. But like I said, they're laddered out over 3 years, so it's continually renewing.
Well, basically, back because we just got that quarter of a percent last year. We went along at 2.5, and then it went to 2.75. Mm-hmm. So yep. We just basically got a bonus for a couple of years at that that quarter percent. It's just going to go back for a week.
They'll be happy to take back.
And this is the first cut in the Fed in over 10 years.
Yeah.
So they've been, trying to build it up and not.
And the good thing is, I don't think we count on that as revenue.
No.
So,
no, that's just.
Shouldn't affect anybody's budget, mm-hmm. really.
No, it will not. It's kind of, and I don't know.
Take it out of Jim Goodwin's budget.
I'm going to take it out of it.
Just kidding.
He's in the room, so we can give him a break.
He's the only one we could really target.
Yeah, he's the only one that showed up, so he's the one that's going to get it.
I'm sorry, Jim. But with the graph, you can see, too, how it grows. So.
It just reminded me I need to ask him a question. Okay, sorry. do you guys have anything further? Does this get submitted, or is it just us?
Just to you guys. I don't need to go to the
weekly
with it at all. It's just for your information. And it will. It is always posted to my website after you guys have seen it.
Wonderful.
That's why today's the first time I've seen it.
You know, check my website, huh?
Exactly. Got right on to that.
Well, Eve, thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good report.
Thank you. You're going to have a good day.
Next up is juvenile justice and the Children's Advocacy Center discussion, which I assume you're all going to be joining Jim at the table for Jim leading this discussion. But, Jim, yesterday was brought to my attention that at one point family, friends was given a program from the county. And the building that went with it per the contract was that it had to remain in programs to children. If it did not, it reverts back to the county. And we have that contract in legal, and would be very timely for us to find that contract and see what's going on with that building right now.
I found a copy of that 2 days ago when I was cleaning out files. It's a one-page MOU. With a quick claim deed.
It's one of those things that, and the timeliness is us looking for this conversation. If that building is not being used for children, it's supposed to revert back to the county.
It's a BRS, right?
Yeah, it's
it
a,
is.
It's a,
oh, it is?
Residential mm-hmm. for younger.
Okay.
Well, but which one? There's two. There's three buildings, actually, that they...
Well, that...
Is the BRS anywhere?
No, the BRS is on that site, on the Third and F Street site.
So I know they have three buildings, one directly across
the street. I just want to make sure that we find that contract and we look at the details to make sure it's in compliance.
Absolutely.
Because when we're having a hard time looking... So Terry Soderberg came up to me yesterday and said, hey, I remembered this.
Yeah.
And so I didn't know about it, so I figured if there's a contract out there that we need to follow up on, they said legal has the copy too.
That would
yeah.
be great.
It's like I said, a one-page MOU. It was a quick claim deed where they gave it to family, then family friends for zero compensation, and the MOU was wide open and wasn't specific, but said that the property did. Have to continue providing services to kids, but it just left it really wide open
sure.
what that meant.
For the purpose of, or did it have to? I mean, that's, it could say for the purpose of.
It said the purpose of.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's a great thing to look into.
Yeah.
yeah.
It was great.
Job. So,
probably
we're here because you've been.
Right. So, as a follow up to the great field trip that. We all had, whenever that was, last month at the Jackson CAC, and this project that's before us. We met because one of the last things was, hey, how about going and looking for some money, if I remember right, as we left Jackson County. And so we had a meeting yesterday, Amber, the new grant position of the county.
And have you both met Amber?
Hi, Amber.
I think so.
I'm Dan.
Commissioner DeYoung, Commissioner Fowler. Dan and
Darren. Good. Thank you.
Good. And really, so Tina and Amber had a conversation, an initial conversation about what could be out there for this project. And so I think where we are now, we had a meeting, I would say that was productive with mm-hmm. options. Carla mm-hmm. McCafferty, the executive director there, talking about a possible partnership because Options is a 501c3 nonprofit. The county is not. Correct me if I'm wrong, Amber, but there's a whole world of grants available to 501c3s that government agencies can't get at.
Correct. That's why CASA didn't want to come back to us.
Right. But with a partnership, sometimes that is possible. So we cracked the lid on that conversation. Options is amenable to the right grant if it comes around looking at it, maybe partnering with us. So that was the first part of that conversation. And the idea is maybe to expand farther into some other nonprofits and have some further discussions. We're just trying to get the field as wide open as we can when we go looking for money for this project. But we're to the point now where if she is writing an actual grant, we need a plan, whether that's a current location building to remodel, or if it's an all-new capital project or whatever, but we can't go for the money unless the board says, here's where we want your program. And so I think we're to that. We're to that point in order for us to explore funding.
Right, and just to clarify, we're talking about the brownish building that IT's in.
Correct.
Right, and
so
sharing with
so
you now.
They're currently in the front yeah. now.
Currently,
right,
the
right.
CAC and CASA are in our current building. Mm-hmm. Both programs have outgrown it. I mean, either program, CASA or CAC, could occupy the whole building, no problem. Especially with the type of remodel, and you all kind of saw.
You mean the whole building, include where IT is at?
Either one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I think the biggest thing is that they need dedicated space for uninterrupted services is what we're seeing. But
right.
it sounds like making use of a smaller space is definitely feasible. So really just some direction on what that might look like, because those are two very different paths to look at funding a new building or a renovation of an existing one, including with the partnership with another 501c3, or if we are just getting funding as a government entity.
With the partnership that Options offered, do they have any building space that could co-locate?
They are working on their own capital project in Jackson County, so space is also an issue for them currently. Mm-hmm. So there is limitations in that.
And I know they had a housing project not go through city council over on Lincoln or something in that area, mm-hmm. too.
So it made it through the council, but the financing or something fell through.
Got it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, we saw the tour, and part of that was for us to have an understanding. Jim brings it up, what they're facing, and so for us to see the tour of what they're really needing to be able to do, I don't know that there's an easy answer. We know that the public safety is moving out of the Justice Building, and, you know, there's going to be some moving around of offices, but we really haven't had a conversation as a board. I know Arthur's kind of looking on a master facility, kind of something or other going on, but I think we almost at some point need a workshop and hammer through and have us actually make some decisions as far as where are things going, getting Ryan and Arthur and everybody in the room and having some of those conversations. Because we've talked about moving IT, but it's not certain that that's happening. And do we know that where IT is going is going to meet their needs?
Right.
And
that's
so,
the other part of this puzzle, because in my mind, I see IT being able to make a move because of how much movement's happening next door. That might be an opportunity for them to move over here. I know they're partially in the Blue Veterans Building as well. And so, yeah, I don't know how nimble they are or where they'd like to land. And I want to know for the next 20, 30 years, you know, what looks good.
Yeah.
Because when we make these moves, hopefully they'll stick.
Yeah.
And so, because I see you guys occupying both sides of that building and maybe doing something with the in-between space, if necessary, to add space.
Yeah, the courtyard doesn't have to remain a courtyard.
Right.
If,
and it has a nice off-site residential feel. It doesn't feel like a municipal police station.
When I started at Community Corrections, that was a Community Corrections building.
Yeah.
So on one half was alcohol drug treatment and the home detention program. On the other half was...
Crammed in that
work
building?
Crew. No, they had both buildings.
Okay.
But both buildings was Community Corrections, all our alternate programs, and then the appeals
were across
town.
I try and picture that whole building fitting into that little building.
No, it's
where
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so if you come down to this wing of it, it was everything by the double doors this way was in that two buildings. But
wow.
What are your thoughts? I think
now is the time that you should solidify what your needs are going to be. And I'd like to see you shoot for the moon rather than just a couple trips around the world. Because, you know, so we can put it in and say, you know, well, yeah, we're going to give you that whole thing. Well, we could really use two more just like it. I wonder what that is. What is that going to look like? What does your end product need to look like? And,
well,
and you know, that's what we need to look at right now as far as finding you a space to land rather than saying, that's our ideal location. That's what we want. That's what we need. And find out that that isn't going to cover your base 5 years from now or
right.
2 years from now.
And I think the square footage of either one of those buildings will I can't foresee the CAC by itself outgrowing that.
Right.
Okay. I think they're about 2,000 square feet each, and for the, you know, exam room, interview room, observation room, you know, all the different things that you saw, we're confident that the buildings are twins, the ones that we're in and then the one that IT is in. So either one of those buildings we believe would meet that need, but remodels
with
are not cheap. To do it right and to do it the way we need it, which is why we need the direction. If she's going for a grant, I can. Here's the blueprint of what we have now, and here's what we want, and we can get that drawn up. And that's what she will ultimately need.
That's to why have we're a at target.
That's why we're at a standstill.
Yes.
We basically have to decide if we're going to allow them that space, which means then we have to make a plan for where IT is going to go.
Right.
But if they don't know where, they can't make a plan.
Yeah.
If
they don't know they're moving.
Exactly.
They already have. Right. They're not.
Right. Hey, fellas.
They're not. They don't have to be.
But
in
yeah. What are the limitations?
There is none. We've already checked into that.
Do we have fiber to that building now?
Just normal. Yeah, there's nothing. Right. That's
because I bet there's fiber coming to the courthouse.
So
or the municipal building.
So that building has nothing special that is unique to IT.
That's what I'm thinking.
Their special equipment is in a secure location elsewhere, and so they can be relocated. But they do receive a lot of deliveries, and so their one concern is they have to be able to have access to have deliveries. But I don't.
That's not a huge obstacle. They should be able to work that.
Exactly.
And you talk to Keith, and it's. All right here.
Right.
I can move in a minute. It's all right here. Love
like
that kid.
Sounds like him, yeah.
But this is the year of the shuffle, so I appreciate you getting your needs known so that we know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that there's much more for them to say. They need twice the space that they have.
Right.
Yep. And that space would work, so now we need to talk to IT.
It will work long term.
Yeah. They're anticipating being
okay, well,
over.
Okay. I just think we need
to the board if, saying it's happening.
If that's the best move in your estimation, that's the best move, then let's just highlight that in and move towards that.
Yeah.
And then, so I guess the next thing is to sit down with IT and say, where do you want to go?
We'll get a master facility plan
because we got a lot of movement.
Well, and maybe it's time we have a workshop on that and just an update on Arthur.
Facilities and IT. Because
it's not just that.
Everything that we got going.
If you look at the bigger piece, we kind of paused on looking at what to do with co-locating public works and parks and all of them just because it has a big price tag attached to it. Yeah. And with all the other capital projects city and school districts are doing, you know, but if our property sells, we have community development, facilities, and public health that all have to co-locate, or all have to relocate. Mm-hmm. And so we will be forced to find a space quickly. Yeah. So we have, and the library is looking at taking on a capital project. And when they succeed in that process and have their new process, our building will remain and then is available for utilization. But what's the time frame?
What's the timing, yeah.
Or that property would be, that building's really old and got some serious issues. I don't know whether remodeling it would be.
I'm not guessing, but it's ours.
But it would come back to the county.
Probably the
real quickest, easiest way would be to move the county seat to Kirby. Take up the old mill site, and let's move the whole county seat to Kirby. It would help the Illinois Valley would become the county seat.
There's an empty building. It was the old apartment building. We don't know what to do with.
Just a thought.
Oh, my gosh. That was an incredible left turn.
Yeah.
But there's some brownie points in votes in the valley.
Well, you said the moon, and I don't even want to go to Kirby. It could be achievable.
Well, and I mean, so really it's one of those things we keep talking around
what the needs are.
But at some point, so they can move forward with asking for funding, we as a board have to decide, are they staying on that location, or do we need them to find a different location?
But isn't the only other person in the room would be IT and see what they're...
They've already been talked to,
but let's see what that time ramp is. I have no problem with giving them the...
Reality, they don't have a say.
I get that, but we want their input.
I understand, and the input they've given is they receive deliveries, they're happy where they are, but they understand that the board has to make decisions. So if that's a fair summary, they don't want to move. But when it comes down to it, we're the ones elected to make the hard decisions of how do we manage our county. And knowing that we have several departments that have to shuffle and move, at some point we're going to have to make a decision that affects other departments, whether or not it's what they would ideally prefer. And we may get down to that point because we are at a crunch.
Yeah. Well, and it's starting to crunch. We're not quite there yet.
No.
But
for these guys...
I think theirs is such a logical move. Yes. It's just I only want to move IT once. And so when we do move them, let's make sure it doesn't impede any future moves, whether it's community development coming into the library building or public health coming into the old police station. I don't know. But
DA's moving in there.
I know. Well, and they're moving around.
No, this and is so, why we kind of need to, at some
we're starting
point,
to feel the pieces want to move.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of just talk about it. So.
And maybe that's what we do need as the next step, because it didn't do me any good to be looking at co-locating those other ones when we really don't know what's going on here. And we have a 10-year-old master plan sitting in here, and that was contingent on the courts moving out. So it's this great plan to move the commissioners up to the top floor. And all this other
kind of
stuff.
Wait a minute, I just got my office to go.
I know.
okay.
But, you know, at one point we are, with this being a 100-year-old building, the courts are, we were on the 6-year plan of that.
State funding.
Yeah, but you have to have a local match. And so that's a huge project down the road, too. And so it's just kind of one of those things that at some point our property manager, our facilities manager, Arthur heading things up, and us as a board really need
and
to kind of have...
IT's backbone in that.
It's not just IT.
Yeah.
I'm talking about physical locations, management of those, and overall plan... We need to have that
conversation. We're on that list for a new courthouse at some point in time.
That's what I'm referring to. Right.
Yeah.
We're
it's
on the 6-year
or so.
We got bumped back a little bit because Klamath got pushed in because theirs fell over.
And ours is the same design that Klamath's was. So we are not needing an earthquake. We need to just keep going where we are and we'll be fine.
Well, and like I was waiting for the first piece to start moving, and it sounds like this is it, because we haven't sold the Dimmick property, we haven't taken possession of the police station, and so this one seems like the first one pushing on it, and has a logical movement to make.
Well, and just, I mean, so both programs have employees without an office. I mean, we're there now.
We have a forensic interviewer who's floating around.
Yeah.
We've also put together a medical team. We've got 4 people on our medical team. And through the kindness of Siskiyou Community Health Center, we have an exam room. But it would be nice, and they're from our medical team is from different locations, so it'd be nice to have a medical room again so that we can organize that. So we're just kind of all over the map. We're also have some additional VOCA funding coming up in the fall where we would like to hire at least a half-time family support person.
So. And they're going to be on the roof?
Probably.
Launcher.
Yeah, make a comfy spot in the parking lot, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be hard to IT. I just know that none of us want to move. And so at some point, it really is getting down to the point that the commissioners have to make the call of where we're going to go.
And like I say, I'm ready to make that that call because it sounds like the pieces are already pushing. And so I think it's a better move because to try and find them a new location and a new building is going to be more difficult and longer timeline. In my mind, so moving IT is just deciding where IT has to go, and they should have a good idea.
Well, even if that was the decision and the timeline was out a ways, then we could start looking right now for
you want a commitment from us that that's where you're going to land.
Yes,
you can start writing grants.
Yep.
And if it was all new, build your own new building somewhere else, we'd go in that direction too.
Yes.
Right.
But without the direction, we're stopped. Kirby at the was that web
the new heart.
But I agree, after looking at the facility, currently if they have an interview going on, the other offices can't really function because of soundproofing. So really, I mean, it's interrupting services for both agencies. And I think with the courtyard and with having both of those buildings, it does free things up a little bit. It's a very logical project. I think we would have a really good shot at a lot of different funding sources for this project. We would also, if it was another site, we would go for that as well. But this seems very, very well positioned to move into both buildings.
And I think it'd be the fastest track as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that building's not falling down. It's in reasonable condition.
I mean, yes.
There's some structural damage there. Specifically in the interview room where the root system of the tree has definitely done some foundation damage. You walk across that floor and it gets a little wonky. Yeah.
Oh, wonky is not a problem.
Yeah, well, yeah, we can live with wonky, but...
What does it grow into?
It's going to be worse.
Well, so let's follow up later with where you are and see, kind of, so we can give a report back and kind of talk. Is Ryan... Ryan's available. He's around. I got an email back from him this week.
Yeah, he just got back from vacation.
And John will follow up with him. Just so he's elsewhere at the moment.
And I would say we're kind of leaning that way. So what's your response from those to facilities, finance, and IT? What's the response?
I mean, I was hoping that maybe we had a solution with that contract that we could say, hey, we get that building back. And yeah. I still think we need to look at that.
That would be bad.
It should definitely be scrutinized and checked out.
And it needs to remain on the list of somebody that's following up so that at all times, I mean, that we need to put it on somebody's checklist that this is periodically looked at to make sure that it's still in compliance. But I know that, I mean, from what Jim's explained to me, they have to be near, for the CAC, it has to have privacy. It can't be in a public place. It can't be near other parties that may be involved in the cases. The cost of being there has to be near the juvenile justice building. So within, you know, right now they're relatively within walking distance. So it's kind of one of those things that the partnership of similar type working with kids and court systems, they partner well. So I don't have a problem supporting them being there, but I want to make sure that we take care of IT in a way that they don't feel like they just got shoved to a back shelf.
Right. Sounds good. Yeah, plus I like the residential feel of that building.
So we would be okay, I would be okay to start looking into funding sources for this type of project for occupying.
Do we need an order or something for that?
Okay.
I would think so.
If you want to make a motion, I don't even think we need it. It's just the direction. The board agrees that that's the location. Any objections?
If anybody looks, wouldn't a motion be appropriate, I think?
Okay.
To move forward, to give them authority to move forward.
So I would entertain a motion granting juvenile justice to proceed with funding sources for the location of the 4th and D location.
So moved.
And seconded.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Add to the motion, I'll bake McCafferty a cake.
Weekly.
If you deliver, don't deliver yourself. You could wear the cake. If you deliver yourself, you could wear the cake. Yeah. Having it delivered, you might get a piece of it, but I doubt it.
All right, so we elect Arthur to deliver the news to John.
So when they go back to juvenile, they're going to go 5th Street and then back over there. They're going to walk over to 4th and 6th.
Stop. F Street parking lot.
Yeah, clear about your
John's
GPS.
John's on vacation right now, so you're safe.
Oh, you're for a while. Okay. Yeah. At least till Monday.
You got a week. Yeah.
But you already knew that, didn't you?
That's why you're here.
Hence why when
the conversation started.
Wow, you guys are crafty.
I approached John weeks ago. When this started bubbling up, just to break the ice.
Well, as Commissioner Morgan said,
nobody's trying to push anybody anywhere.
Or to try and secretly move
IT has had this on their radar from just about every point of the compass that, you know what, start.
Right.
You know, we've got to start looking.
Every time they move, if something gets upgraded, so they can't get too upset.
Right.
Well, and it's part of, I mean, that's why we know there's not infrastructure there that can't be moved, because we've already been having those conversations.
Yeah.
So obviously their responses will do what the board says.
Has the city given us any kind of timeline as to when they're going to be out?
November.
September 1st, and then they've...
It's October and November now.
Yeah.
Well, we've been figuring on the end of the year is what I've been kind of...
Well, I think they gave us a 12-month on January 1, so it would be the end of the year.
Yeah, and just figure something's going to happen and they're going to be a little late. Mm-hmm. You know how remodels are.
And
I don't.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, we found dry rot in your cement slab. There's termites in those steel columns.
Dan's in rare form today.
Thank you all.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Arthur is up next with our finance report and business update.
Sorry,
Arthur. And item 3.8 is economic development requests for a Youth Pathways Partnership request of $50,000. Gene Merrill from Youth Pathways is also here. And then we will go from there. Good morning.
Excellent. Thank you. Arthur O'Hare, Finance Director. And as you mentioned, the first item is the continuation of support for the Youth Pathways program. Last year, April, the board approved some initial funding to get the program going for that fiscal year. And at that point in time, there was already a request for continued funding for the current fiscal year. So that's what you're looking at today, is that continued funding for the current fiscal year. We're one of numerous entities that are part of this support for the Youth Pathways program. And with Gene talking, I don't have to talk too much. The program is to provide internships. I mean, a good portion of the program is to provide internships for our high school students, especially in rural areas, to be able to integrate into the workforce for our local economy.
But so the funding specifically was for an FTE, or to go towards an FTE as well.
It's for program, for the entire program, but yeah. The bulk of our cost is having a full-time employee.
And that person's title?
The business liaison.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. So we hired Joshua Shannon from North Coast Road Valley. Yeah, he's involved with both their business services and their youth development team.
Great hire.
Good
fit for what the purpose is.
A little bit of flack from them for stealing him away.
Yeah.
But he hit the ground running. He's doing awesome. So he and I have been doing a lot of work, especially with me being off school for the summer. So we've been touching bases with businesses, but also really trying to kind of cement out a plan that is very step-by-step and very logical for the spread to a countywide program, with the mind that what we're doing is something completely different than any other county or region in Oregon is doing. And so how would this look from state perspective, maybe, for funding, which I think we have a good chance for at some point. Looking around at similar programs, there are youth engagement programs that are led by groups like Chamber of Commerce, some of the work investment boards. The problem with almost every one of those programs all over the state of Oregon is that most of them have aspects that are actually in violation of federal or state law. We're the only program in the state that actually meets all of the parts and pieces. And so I think that's going to catch some interest.
I think you've got a captive audience for recruitment to your program. I'm looking at the light switch because I'm not supposed to make eye contact.
Okay.
But you've got a captive audience in the fact that you're in the schools and that's where it really needs to start. Whereas if you're the Chamber of Commerce, now you're trying to how do I connect with a group of kids? And the Chamber probably has numerous ways to do that, but yours is ready-made. They show up and they're interested. They're there to learn. Mm-hmm. So let's teach them.
But he's got support. I want to point out that from the Chamber and from the city.
Yeah.
And from
exactly.
He's
the operator, the switchboard that can get it done.
That's exactly what I feel like.
That's what
it was a little bit Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
The switchboard.
I was thinking, you
get a dial phone today and he goes,
Lucy.
It doesn't do anything. Holds the whole phone up to here. But no, I think you've got a different angle on it, and I think it's important to note that.
I think the direction, and we've kind of coalesced things now. the I'm super excited about the direction you're going. If you guys have like 10 minutes, I can. So right now, when a kid walks down the hallways, they go into their classroom, this is what they see. That just inspires you to everything, right? So every one of these, biology, oceanography, anatomy, physiology, robotics, biology, earth science or astronomy, I mean, those
so
tie,
that's that one teacher's
that's
classes.
This is what it's like in the school districts. I actually did a tour of our school to the national director of AP programs from New York. They brought him out to our school, and his jaw dropped. He goes, your teachers teach this many classes a day? I was like, oh, yeah, that's commonplace. I mean, that's our education staff for the county. They work.
Heroes.
They're heroes, yeah. So each one of those classes obviously ties to a career. So here's the step-by-step vision that we have. So this is added to or replaced by, you guys have seen these little things, right? The QR code. So we're working out in the community and with the community colleges. Oregon State is doing a thing they call guided pathways. They want the community colleges to make it easier for students to find their pathway into careers. And so they're coming up with a condensed version of what we would call career clusters. So every career is going to fit into a certain area. So really it breaks down to about six different areas. There's health and public safety, science, economic, technology, engineering, math, business, finance, which kind of encompasses culinary, hospitality, management,
that's
education, social, yeah,
I like the culinary part.
Agriculture, and skilled trades, applied technologies, arts, humanities, communication. So every job out there can apply to those. So we are developing these. These are actually going to be 3-inch by 3-inch window stickers that can go in the windows of the businesses in the community that are supporting internships. They can also go next to our different classes in the schools with QR codes that link to the internship articulation. So what we're doing is developing all the legal forms, the student information, the educational components. So when the student completes his internship, and Dan will appreciate that, so the student spent 100 hours and they've observed or participated in this task list. Some of those are directly tied to what the community colleges have as prerequisites for getting into programs of study. So like our veterinary students, they do their veterinary internship and they have a task list in there that's signed off by the veterinarian that they can then take to the community college and say, yep, look, I qualify to get into this program of study. The QR codes link to that, and then videos for 1 minute long videos for various industries that are just a quick, this is what is. So this is High Tech Machining. This is a company that's over in Merlin. Totally excited to be part of. And so we just did a tour of their business and took some video shots of the machinery and what they do. So the kid can, oh, I enjoy biology. Well, click on my QR code here. Here's veterinary. Here's agriculture, here's whatever that fits within that area, being a Forest Service biologist or a biologist with fish and wildlife or whatever. So we're integrating that. Those window stickers tied in with the business, hopefully we'll also get the community members looking like, what's that? So it says Youth Pathways. They can go on the website and that's going to tell them, hey, this is, you know, what this is about. And somebody who's out looking for a job, they're like, oh, well, I didn't think about Siskiyou Community Health Center for IT. I'm in IT and I don't like my job with the county because they're making me move, so I'm going to go to Siskiyou Community Health Center.
Could you stick a QR code on the window sticker as well?
I
want to check out this program.
What you can do with the technology like that is super cool. So we're trying to integrate things so that from the high school level to the community college level or the business level, everything kind of ties in and meshes within our community. And so as the students are going out into the workforce, they're having these experiences that are showing them the broad depth of the different careers that are available. And hopefully that's going to keep a bunch of those students from, oh, I'm going to go to school in Portland and then I'll just stay up there and work. They're going to realize, well, I could get a 2-year computer programming degree at Rogue Community College and work right down here for, you know, a local company and make $75,000 or $100,000 a
day. Stay in mom and dad's basement.
Maybe. Well, we got to get the housing.
While I'm doing the education part.
Long term. My long term goal, remodel the basement.
Yeah.
I'm trying to stay away from the housing thing because even though I think that's important, I think that's yet another big project that I just don't have time to be involved
in. Well, and I really like the idea of not just saying, hey, this could get you into some possible careers, having these broad strokes as well. No, here's some specific careers that are available locally.
And I'm still a firm believer, you have to expose that kid to things to know. I did that career day thing, and I said, first off, it's okay to tell your parents you don't know what you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're going to run off to college studying for what? I don't know what I want to be, Mom and Dad. Mm-hmm. So don't spend your money on me yet. But you get that exposure. As soon as it hits that kid, it'll hit him hard. And this is giving them a whole list of things that will spark. Gosh, astronomy. I don't even know what. I can't even spell it. So let's look into it a little bit.
What careers in that area?
Exactly. I think it's a fantastic program.
On all the educational articulations, so this is all the required state paperwork, the legal stuff. But at the end of it is, you know, if you're looking at community colleges, here's what you can do in that field, the different things you can access. Or many careers, you know, planning, water treatment, things like that, or on-the-job training. We have that on those specific things. If you're looking for a university, you want to have a four-year-plus degree, then here's the directions.
Well, I think this helps out the education community also, because community colleges are constantly, what do we need to teach? What do we need to teach? Mm-hmm. And this right here, now you've got a list of people. These are kids that are interested in plastic welding or robotics or whatever. Oh, okay. Now we can justify bringing a program in and going from there. I think it helps out the community colleges locally. Yeah. How do we keep people here? Because that's what Rogue Community College really isn't training people to get the heck out of here. It's training them so they can live right here.
Our local workforce.
Yeah. And they're changing their tack and doing exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, let's just get them fed and drag them across the line, but now it's all, no, let's tie them into a career.
Let's find what the need of the community is, and can you fill that?
Yeah. Well, and we're going to have a data stream when we're surveying these students, you know, when every sophomore in every school in Josephine County takes a survey that says, what are you interested in career-wise? And we're preparing for internships for that, but there's a data stream now to send to the community colleges. Well, you guys don't have any arts programs. There's a need for it. The students are interested. Maybe you should look at, you know, doing more digital arts or.
Yeah. Do you have a box on that? What are you interested in being in your career? And do you have a box that says I don't know?
And we have an other, and they write it in.
Yeah, just say I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you got a kid says I really don't know. I don't know what's out there, and then have just like a O1, not a 101, but an O1. Just say these are some of the things that, you know, just might pique your interest. Mm-hmm. Is there anything on this list that you would like to do?
They have a assessment tool that you can answer questions, and it makes a recommendation of a pathway for you as well. Mm-hmm. Shauna Bland from Grants Pass High School showed it to me because I took the test, and it was really weird. It suggested I become a parole officer. I should maybe rechange my answers. Yeah. But no, for those kids who don't know, there's all these categories of do you like to be outdoors? Do you like to talk with people? Do you like to do this? And it asks you all these questions. And at the end,
that's after the kid checks the box. I don't know. That's what I mean when you're asking him what does he want to be, and he says I don't know. Then that should move him in over this category.
Videos are going to be important because the kid can, I love going to science or I love going to whatever class. Yeah. And, here are some internships that are in that area that lets them kind of explore before they're out of high school, before they're paying money for college. So they can see, I don't know what I want to do, but I like working with animals and I like biology. So I could be a fish and wildlife biologist, a forest service biologist. I could be a vet tech or whatever. They could explore some careers around their personal interests.
Yeah, I was like, I always push for public works because people don't realize what public works is. You know, water testing. Lily's dad worked at the water treatment plant for years down there.
Still does.
And they just, you know, there's just so much available.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I went in the Navy, they told me I wouldn't need to be a radioman.
They told you.
Well, after taking all the aptitude tests and everything, they said, you're a born radioman. I said, why? So you almost aced the Morse code test, which was, what do you hear? A, B, C, or D. And I was extremely lucky because I never did hear did. And I was just writing down A, B, C, or D, and I got almost all of them correct. So I took up gambling.
I took up as a professional.
Listening to the slot machine.
Can you tell me about the outreach to Curry County? That's happening. I don't know where the negotiations are.
With Julie Schmaltzer moving over to Curry County, she actually kind of ran into the same thing over there, and the commissioners over there were very interested. And so Curry County has been a two-edged sword. We talked to the commissioners, actually did a presentation at a board of commissioners meeting, and talked with their economic development person, as well as Julie, which got their workforce investment board up in arms to the point that they've actually been trying to cause problems for me over here, because the workforce investment board over there doesn't want us, a Josephine County program, moving into, so it's been interesting.
Is that along the line of Rogue Workforce Partnership?
Yeah, it's their counterpart. It's their counterpart. They're based in Douglas County, and then they control the workforce investment activities.
Don't worry, it's not on camera.
Douglas, Curry, and Coos County. And so they actually created some issues with Ford Family Foundation, who gave me the pilot funding for the project that I started out in Illinois Valley, to the point where I had to have a conference call with one of their top-level directors, and when I explained what was going on, she said, oh, that's not what they're telling us. So, interesting.
That is interesting.
They actually came to a county commissioner meeting and lied to the commissioners and got called to the carpet on it afterwards. The Workforce Investment Boards, and we have an interface with Rogue Workforce because they're trying to do a completely illegal program in Medford, working with youth. So they had no interest in what I was doing. But the one over in Curry County sees it as threatening workforce, where I see it as it's workforce development, but it's also interfacing with education. And honestly, that's the most cost-effective place you can develop workforce.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So
we've been talking about this forever, about how do we develop a workforce? You got to get them in the schools.
You have to get them
when they're younger.
And that's where you can get the biggest population of
residents. We've had that conversation at Rogue Workforce when I was liaison over there. But it just flat didn't go anywhere. It was like they had the name, and we're going to do this, and what have you done? And it just didn't, it never, yeah, it was, it
Work,
was
workforce
the pot never boiled.
I got a little snarky with the director over there, because they have this waterfall funding that comes down from the state and from businesses in the region that support them. Usually they're large businesses. Those large businesses love to talk about how they want to support youth programming, but when it comes down to it, the direct experience that we have working in Josephine County is those large businesses are wonderful, but they are not the ones that are valuable for youth. It's the small businesses, the sole proprietorships with a few employees that really are the meat and potatoes for working with youth directly. Those big companies may be able to fund programs like that, but it took over a year of working with Rogue Valley Door just to sit down with somebody, and that's with their human resource directors, absolute, like, we need to do this, before we sat down with somebody high up enough to say, okay, fine. And his words were, I'll go ahead and let you guys do this. I don't think it's going to be of any benefit to us, but if it works, we win. And if it doesn't work, then...
I know that guy.
Yeah. So that's, and other big businesses are like, oh, fantastic. We'd love to see organizations working with youth. We'll have a career fair where kids walk through our construction site or something. It was not valuable, until that kid's out there. I've got pictures of kids working on a house in the snow, in the rain, in the heat. When they're doing that, they know if they want to pursue that as a career. Yeah. And that's really, we need those
one day
sustained experience.
And a lot of those people that would probably turn a blind eye to your program are the same ones that'll stand out there in the public and say, I don't have a workforce. There's nobody available. I can't get anybody to come to work for me.
Yep.
And they'll tell you that over and over and over again, but yet you come up with a program and say, I have a whole mine full of kids that really want to move beyond school, and you don't want to make your profession available to them? That's boggles the mind.
It's interesting. So I've had two meetings over in Curry County. I did a presentation to the Port Orford Langlois School Board. There's three school districts within Curry County, Port Orford Langlois and the Gold Beach School Board. Didn't ask them 100% for a commitment, but just asked if here's a program, are you interested in pursuing this? And they are both interested. Brookings lost their high school principal and their district superintendent in the same month, so they're working on replacing them. So we're doing our presentation to Brookings, which is the largest school district, this month. So it's interesting, but everybody that we've met with in Curry County from the schools loves the idea of the program. So, you know, the direction that would go there, Curry County economically, is even worse off than Josephine County.
This also, I think, gives the kid a reason to come to school.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the biggie. There's a lot of kids.
We've already seen the graduation rate.
They're not interested in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but if you can expand out a little bit to go, I want to go to school.
To do hovercraft.
Why? Because there's something there for me.
Yeah.
And a lot of kids just, I'm done with school. I've had it by the 11th grade.
Yep.
And it wasn't really worth it for me to come back for my senior year other than get a diploma.
Yeah.
But this would have done.
Caught your interest. Well, yeah. Curry County is committed enough that the commissioners have actually put $7,000 towards a grant writer to create some funding stream for this and some other things that they'd like to see within the school district. And so once we have, the word that all three school districts are interested, we can, begin going that. But the grants have been written and are out there, and so they're just waiting for word back on those. So I think it's extremely probable that we'll see a program that's actually a dual county program. None of the funding from Josephine County is going to support the Curry County program at this point, just in case anybody, had worried about
that.
That's
again important.
Travel and things like that. Curry County.
But Julie made that pitch, though, didn't she?
Oh, Julie did. But it was while she was working on their dime. So, I think it's not only likely that we're going to see a two-county program and one that really integrates businesses with the educational services within the counties. But at the end of this month, I have two meetings in Salem. One is with Oregon Department of Education and Boley back-to-back, and then the next one is going to be with somebody from Willamette Education Service District, which is a very large ESD up in Salem, who's the director of career services there is very interested in what we're doing and kind of seeing how we can align this towards a more statewide approach. She was actually approached by a representative from the governor's office wanting to know where work-based learning was really happening in Oregon and what programs were the best. And she said, there's only one in Oregon that I know of that meets all the requirements, and it's in Josephine County. So
going back to our ask for $50,000, I don't know what we have to do. Chairman, is this a motion? Do we make a motion to approve the?
You can, and we can sign it today. Okay. It's under the amount that has to go to the full board. We can sign it off. I have a second ask related. So I would like to see Josephine County departments partner with internships that were available.
Oh,
if you guys are
actual Josephine County.
Mm-hmm. And it'd be nice to send out an email to the department heads and elected officials saying that the board endorses and encourages. I used to have practicum students from universities come and connect with me at Community Corrections, and I'd have them for about 3 months. I know each department has their own policies and such, but I think we should have an overall mission
general policy that we support,
and need to encourage every opportunity
and feel it and feel
within
it,
the organization. I think that's
and
great.
Be advantageous to their recruitment side.
Yeah, I've worked and talked directly with Sarah, Scott, and Mark. All of them, very supportive of this work.
Go see Rob Brandis.
So, okay.
I'd say Rob Brandis and Ryan Johnson. Yeah, you know, building maintenance is huge. That's a big industry.
Parks
we have lots
as well.
Of kids that
range in the industry. Parks.
So, you know, we have all the pieces taken care of. From the standpoint of liability, the liability is all in the schools. The kids are covered by workers' comp insurance and liability insurance by the schools. This is an educational component, so the kids get school credit for it. It doesn't affect the school's seat time, so it's not affecting their funding. We work with the time frames of the site that's hosting the intern. So if they say, well, you know, I don't know if I would have time, well, we're going to find a kid who's interested in doing that who can meet your schedule. And the students are really on site about 7 hours a week, so it's not a huge ask. We try to separate it out. I try to do 2 half days a week just because I think that makes the most sense. A student's not getting overwhelmed in the business site. Whoever's supervising isn't feeling like they're just, you
neither
know,
side
my whole
gets
day
burnt.
Is lost.
Yeah, yeah.
So 2 half days has worked really well, but we've done full days. We've done where students have done intermittent through an entire school year instead of one semester like normal. So there's flexibility to work with whatever each individual host supervisor, you know, what fits with their schedule and circumstances of their industry the best.
Well, I agree with Commissioner Moore. I think we need to
emphasize,
write that letter or put that memo out. Because I think, you know, I said public works and building maintenance, too, that would really could spark you.
I'd be willing to send that out, but I was actually asked a couple days ago if I'd be willing to do a soft intro via email. And I said I'd like to wait for today to ask your permission and blessing, because I think it would be a stronger message that the board supports this.
Yep.
I'm
in favor.
Clearly. I support,
Okay. So I would entertain a motion for the continued support of the Youth Pathways Partnership with Josephine County with the economic development grant of $50,000 for this next fiscal year.
I'd make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries 3-0. And do you need a motion for the support of the internships of the county? Would that be beneficial?
Not for me. I think a memo from the board, from the board's office saying,
right, here's the new program.
Right, here's a program. Yep. We encourage support.
Yeah,
we
JJ
are
needs
going
anything
to
from human resources, we can work with. I can work with JJ to figure out, like, if there's any.
We'll tell him if we
see
it.
We basically had a form app. If they do the forms through school, do we have to have a separate volunteer application for us? Can we come up with something that would make that they don't have to fill out forms in triplicate for them and us and the department? I mean, if there's a background that needs to be, I know community corrections can't do it because he can't be under 18. A juvenile may have that restriction as well for that kind of thing.
So can we address the reason why for under 18 in community corrections? Because I've been researching that and I haven't found any reason.
Because we have convicted sex offenders who are not allowed to have contact with minors.
Okay. So was there
and
a way
so they have to pass polygraph examinations exposing any interaction with minors.
Right.
So it's also why they ask kids not to be brought in with their parents when they come in for visits with their POs.
Okay.
They talk to the sex offenders about, okay, if a kid comes in the lobby, you go down to this, you know, but
right.
It's one of those things that as they have to disclose anything,
mm-hmm.
if it potentially could be something that could lead to something
right.
else. So for the most part, it's an internal policy, not
like a state requirement or something like that.
Well, the conviction through the courts says no contact with anyone under 18.
But students could work with community corrections or like Josephine County Sheriff's Office in like the community outreach stations, like the one in Cape Junction or something. They could do things like desk work in there, working. There's an adult in there with them. That would expose them to some aspects of those careers. They could do ride-alongs. It's a little difficult, you know, Josephine County Sheriff's is pretty strapped, but there are potential ways that they could be involved as well.
I've done ride-alongs, usually in the back seat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they give you jewelry to wear, too, while you're doing it, right?
That's the reason we put your hands behind you so you won't roll the window down.
Yeah. We had an extensive ride-along program, including with high schoolers,
mm-hmm.
when I worked for Grants Pass Public Safety.
Yeah, and they still do.
And I don't know that the county has followed with that, and I think it would be worth... I remember at the corrections, we were told no non-county employee could ride in the car because of liabilities and such. So I would just say, if the board is supporting that JJ work with Youth Pathways to create as seamless a process. I will say that our juvenile justice has also partnered with a Rotary Mentoring with the board's blessing. We had done this because we see that the youth in our program could benefit from that mentoring as well. And so this kind of the potential of could somebody in our shelter also be referred into an internship and in that kind of process. So if there is a way to cut the red tape and to work with our, you know, the forms the county uses and the background, the county schools uses was approved for everybody. So if we can come up with something similar that their application process will suffice for us, and then I think we had a, like a confidentiality thing.
Oh, then that's kind of involved like medical professions and stuff.
But if the board approves that JJ can work with to streamline that process, that would be
I think it's an opportunity for us at that letter to that memo to all of our department heads. Exposes your program to them because they don't know anything about it. Then they, I didn't even know this was available to me.
So
and then we could have a list of what's available from us.
But I agree, make, you know, you don't, a lot of those forms are repetitious.
That's what she's trying to cut.
So let's, just do one and it covers it.
I found that with that youth, the college student that wanted to do an internship with us while he was on his college break at Christmas, the paperwork, he could have been here twice as long, but emailing back and forth to the application background check and all this other kind of stuff, I know it's necessary, but it'd be nice to see if we can streamline the process and get it done quickly.
And a background check is no big deal, you know, other than they're under 18. But if a student's looking at accessing a career that's going to require that, then I don't see any reason for them not to experience that and as part of their onboarding.
And at the college level at both RCC and Southern Oregon University and some of the other universities around Oregon, they have a one-term practicum. Some of our department heads have thought it bothersome to deal with 3 months because by the time you get them trained, then they go back. They want a minimum of 6 months. No college in Oregon requires 2 terms of a practicum. So it would, if you guys agree that if we need to be amenable, that means that we do with what the system is, not try to have each department create their own policy on that.
No, no. I think that it would fit under his guidelines.
And if it fits under the, you know, the educational calendar, you know, then it's much easier to incorporate students into those programs. You know, they start up in September, they go into the end of January. We like to have the outgoing students onboard the incoming students, so there's kind of that passing of knowledge, which actually helps kind of take some of the burden off of the supervisor on site. And then that's that second student goes to the end of the school year. And if we need, we can have summer internships as well. You know, parks especially would be one that would benefit from, you know, 10 or 15 strapping young people out there on lawnmowers.
Amen.
So.
Yes, parks would. Very good. Well, this is pretty cool. I'm excited.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. All right. So moving on, finance office has got a project manager request for financial software RFP. And page 25 in our packet, so happy.
All right, thank you. This request is just building on the RFP for the replacement software for our financial system, human resources, cash receipting program. And so back in May, the board gave us the green light to move forward with investigating and developing a request for proposals for the replacement of the finance system. In our review and looking at how to make this happen, we realized that it would be very difficult for us. It would be challenging for the finance office to integrate this into our current workload. The best practices, if you look at, I've talked with Douglas County, we've checked with the what the best approach is, and we're looking at probably a position that will spend at least 30 hours a week in this RFP development and working with the departments in each department to develop what they need, what their requirements are, and to make sure that the system when we put out the RFP, captures all the needs that are out there in the county, in the county departments. Part of this program manager that we're looking at will also transition from developing the RFP into the actual implementation of the software. So they'll work with departments to help them in their training, to help them in developing the reports or how to use the software to make it work best for them. The final part of that would be that we want this position to then integrate on a permanent basis into the finance office, given the understanding that there's probably going to be some retirements or movements from some of the staff in the finance office within the next year or so.
He said tongue-in-cheek.
Something along that line.
10 months, 14 days, 23 hours.
23 hours.
But who's counting?
Who knows that? But that's part of the plan. If we can get someone integrated, trained, knowledgeable,
right,
working with the staff, that would make a very nice
transition.
Support and transition for the finance office. Something along those lines.
Thank you for thinking ahead, sir.
So what I'm asking for today is permission to go ahead and develop the job description, and we'll actually bring that back to the board for the standard approval with the position requisition and the job description, and here's what it looks like. And I'll work with HR as far as pinning down exactly what the duties are and what the range is. We gave an estimate here at the N17, but we'll come back with a
phone. I'm okay with that.
So for a while, it's an addition of a FTE, but
yeah,
a year or two down the road, it may not be.
It
might fold back in.
Probably won't be, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Attrition.
normal comings and goings of people.
That's right. Some people that abandon ship.
I would never call
ship,
you normal.
Right? For those that abandon ship.
And 11 minutes.
The countdown.
It was 15 minutes a little while ago, but it's now 11 minutes.
We're moving quick. Down the road. So this isn't the final, but this is just, yes, the board supports the concept,
right.
So
okay.
Move
like
forward
it.
with the
like
development of that position description.
Sounds like a good transition.
Part of succession.
Yes, it is part of succession planning.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much. That is what I brought forward.
So was that your official notification, or?
we'll talk afterwards.
Right.
Off the record. No, I appreciate that we plan ahead.
Yes.
So.
Especially when I hear a principal and the head administrator left from a school. Can you imagine that in the same month with not much warning?
Whoopee!
Yeah.
I was a kid. Whoa! My parents are going to answer. So the school system shut down. Thank you, Lord.
Great. I think if it would be possible, you and I can touch base later, mm-hmm. So we can get scheduled soon, kind of an update on where we are with the master stuff.
Yeah, yes. So I've got that written down.
You and I try to touch base later this afternoon.
Sure, yeah.
And see what we can come up with.
Okay.
A time frame of coming back to the full board.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's the next step for that whole. And actually the CAC and CASA motivating that process, yeah, that's great.
Yep.
I like it.
Somebody had to be first.
You know, here we go.
Put their hand up.
And as far as the new courthouse, I think reality is we're 10, 12 years away before we get funding.
I'd probably agree with that.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think we were seventh or eighth on there when we got bumped down.
We were sixth. But it's biennium. So that's year 12.
Yeah.
I had to rethink the six. I knew there was a six. But it was like, okay, it was sixth on a list, and each biennium they were taking one.
They do one. Yeah. So it's 12 years out at least.
And every biennium, they redo the list. Yeah. So then you
have a chance to
you
move
may
you.
Never
and,
move.
Yeah. And as much as Josephine County is on the radar, they think we're getting along just fine now.
Yeah, right? That boom and booming economy with hemp and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. I'll wait.
I digress.
Anything else?
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Next on our agenda is other business, any business that should properly come before the board for a vote at this time. Otherwise, we can move on to item number 5, board business, which has several items there.
I've got no other.
Okay. And I would love to reevaluate on the agendas the difference or the whys sometime and the definitions of other business versus board business, because it kind of seems like, and why does that one come first over the other? It would almost seem, let's bring matters from commissioners up first. Those topics come up, and then we go into other, if there was something that needed to be voted on.
Right, that rose to the level.
Just curious if you're willing to have us look at it. I just
follow the agenda. Don't write
it. Right. I know, but to me, it's like, why is it that way?
Whatever you put on there, whatever comes up on this screen, this is...
Yes, sir.
I like things to never change, you know, unless...
Okay, so I'm going to move on in the agenda. So we have Josephine County College and Career Fair. It's a Grants Pass High School fair. They invite us to be a part of it, and they bring in kids from all the high schools to the one place so that they can all take part at the one location. It's October 16th this year at Grants Pass High School in the morning. And so Michelle sent out an email from your office, JJ. And I know we've had multiple departments take part in the past. This is another one I would encourage us to have departments, like Public Works, any department that would want to highlight this is a career path. But I'm not sure why it's on the agenda for us.
So the reason it's on the agenda for the board, there are a number of departments that are already involved. They're already set up. Some of them have a table. Some of them have set up in a classroom. But in years past, a commissioner went and presented. I think it was last year, the year before, you met with Aaron Kubik, presented at this event to the kids and kind of gave a little spiel about, here's how I became a commissioner and here's my career path. And I thought there was value in that. So I had Michelle send it to your office to see if one of the commissioners would be interested in presenting in a similar fashion this year's.
I did it last time.
Is that you're not it?
This is an easy one. I
think the board is
awesome.
I think
they come around to me again. You bet.
Okay.
Either one of my two colleagues.
I will point out that it is a Wednesday, which is the same time as a weekly business session. Unless we would like to move that one.
Is it in the morning?
8:45 to 12:30.
Yeah. It'd be nice to move that meeting to evening, unless. But I would certainly volunteer.
I will let you.
Being heavily involved in the youth pathways and economic development. So.
Great opportunity.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll respond.
If you want to have someone in your staff,
yep.
Just thank you. Reach out to Shauna Bland to set it up.
Yep. And you guys have that email from Michelle. If not, we'll forward it. But we'll make sure. That's awesome. And then also a note of maybe moving that weekly business session. So.
Just cool. To even afternoon.
When Aaron and I did it, they gave us a time slot in the arts building and in the art, the Performing Arts Center. And we had like 45 minutes. So the total thing took like an hour out of the day. We were later on in the morning, right before lunch, I believe. So. But they go on all day with them. So
yeah.
Maybe if it's a problem, find out from their organizer just when would you want us there? Because says 8:45 to 12:30, but...
It's not that whole time.
Yeah,
it's not that whole time. You don't be there the whole time.
Okay, so next on the agenda, we have several resolutions regarding appointments to different positions. So we have first resolution 2019-029 in the matter of reappointment to Josephine County Rural Planning Commission. This is for James Cunningham to be reappointed, but I don't... Oh, it says the second four-year term to expire 8/7/23. I'm not familiar with this individual. I don't know if you are.
Yeah, just that...
He's the contractor, isn't he? Jim Cunningham? He's a contractor?
I'm not sure of his occupation, but I know that the building department said that he was high-functioning on this board, and so did the board itself. Recommend that he be reappointed.
Okay. Yeah. And then the next one, I'm just assuming to move forward unless you guys have an objection, which you would tell me. The next one is 2019-030, Daryl Stinson, to finish out the term of Christy Mitchell expiring 12/2021 with the Housing Community Development Council. From what I can gather, from what I've looked at, this is a housing council is like an ORS 190 organization. That was originally established and then kind of created its own board. So we can appoint some members to that, but it's not our committee. So
we're not appointing, we're just kind of...
No, we appoint to the position, but we have no... It's a separate entity, and...
Definitely.
Yeah.
They do their
own. We don't get reports from them. We don't really get... I did get a courtesy email from the executive director when they wanted to give something to Jackson County, but it's one of the things of one of my pet projects I would like us to get done is have all of our advisory committees, folders, updates, everything kind of brought current. Nobody's taken ownership of them, and there are advisory boards. And what's our role? What's our authority? How is it a commission versus a committee versus a this, this, and that? And just kind of have a good understanding of what our committees are. And this is one that when I tried looking at, we had a city employee asked to be on this council. And somebody said, you can't. Okay, why can't you? Where's the rule? Oh, well, it turned out this is under ORS, and here's the rules, and no city employee or county employee can be on it. Oh, okay. But that's... It would be nice if we could have documented the rules pertaining to each of our advisory boards.
Yeah, there should be a folder in there somewhere that we could grab anytime.
Yeah, well, anyhow, it's been a two-year desire of mine to get that cleaned up so that we easily can say, no, for this one, this is the rules, this is the membership, this is a... Kind of like we found with Illinois Valley Airports with the...
All over the map.
Oh, absolutely. And when we started here, I remember asking... somebody who's no longer here. I just been appointed liaison to public health. What is the commitment with advisory boards? Oh, I don't know. What do you mean? Well, there's five.
Same as it's always been.
Yeah. There were five committees, and they would show up the day before my meeting sometime. Well, don't they meet regularly? I don't know. We just wait for the minutes. And it's like, we got to have an easier way of understanding what it is. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, okay, so this one.
Well, and that includes a... mechanism to write a thank you letter when people do leave these committees.
They're ours, so let's take ownership of them.
Exactly.
Did they give us any recommendation on Ms.?
I don't know where this came from. I don't know.
I don't either.
Who the application? How many applications we got? I know that I was contacted by a city employee, and in looking at it, found that there was an ORS that prohibited that. And trying to look at why are we involved in the committee at all, I could only tell that we appoint one member. Is this the position we appoint?
This is an at-large position, so.
Yeah, I kind of have more questions here than answers.
Shall we put it off and ask a question?
Maybe. It would be nice to know where it came from.
Get some background on it and go from there.
How many applications were, who decided this was the applicant that were
selected?
Right,
was there only one?
Correct. Yeah. So waiting on 030. The next one is 31, and this is a new appointment to the Josephine County Rural Planning Commission, Ronald Wright.
It says appointed to a seventh four-year term.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, that's a typo. You can't have a seventh four-year term on the Rural Planning Commissions. And if he has his seventh four-year term, we need to see if that's in the bylaws. So if we can look at that.
Mm-hmm. Of course, he's been the chair for 12 years.
Has he really?
Yeah.
So maybe it is his seventh four-year term.
He's a stalwart volunteer and has really helped shape
a
that.
Charter member.
He is a charter member. I know.
Maybe right? It's absolutely accurate.
Yeah, I believe that's accurate.
There may be no limitation in their bylaws. Okay.
Well, because I was on this commission, my very first thing, 12 years ago, and he was the chair. Yep.
And we actually had that we're okay to move this forward.
And he had a blueprint of the three lanes improvements for the alternative A. That was it.
Oh.
He had the blueprint for that, and I got that was one of the first things I saw when I volunteered. I was like, man, that'd be great. And here we are, 12 years later, nothing's changed.
So don't have a problem moving it forward so long as we're within the
so long as it fits in their bylaws.
Okay.
Right, right.
The next one, Grace Roots Ambassador Application. I think that we should discuss at some point the Ambassador Auditorium rentals in the first place.
Are they asking for a waiver?
They are, and it already, so there's a three-tier cost. County departments, there's no charge. Nonprofits, political parties, and government have half cost at $75 per hour, 2 hour minimum, and all others is $150 per hour, 2 hour minimum. So, you know, if we rent property to a nonprofit, they get a break at like 75%.
Half.
In general property, like for CASA, it's a 75% lower than what we, you know, charge. In this case, it's half. And the concern is we don't get many of these at all during the year. The ones that come to mind are the Chamber of Commerce and the Courier host the candidate forum. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we charge for that. At some point, the fees were established for a reason, and nonprofits were already given a break. But do we want to charge at all for the staff time? For this is where it is. It's supposed to cover setup of the room, use of the room, the electricity, and all that other kind of stuff. And
this one's on Saturday.
This Saturday?
No, this one is on Saturday. They requested it.
So they have to come on Friday and they get the remote for the key. They get the key and the remote.
But isn't there somebody that should really go by and check to see that it got locked up?
I don't know how that works. And
is concierge here on the weekends?
Mm-mm.
No?
So it's kind of one of those things that I think.
So I don't want to waive it. If the question is to waive the $75 per hour, 2 hour minimum. I think that's a discount already.
And there are other facilities the county offers for free that can be reserved if it's space.
Well, this one here just happens to fit on their route because they're going to take off and come back down here. This is where they're going to stop.
Oh, they're doing a memorial walk.
They're doing a memorial walk, and then it ends here.
Oh, I wasn't familiar with that. Because I know the Marine Hill Conference Room, there's no charge two blocks away.
Right. Just not as visible and all that as
this
well.
This is right on 6th Street. And That's why they want to do it. The only thing they need is really the building. I don't think they're going to need wireless mics or podium mic or anything like that. They didn't say anything. They haven't checked that box. So.
Right. So
it's up to the board.
I wouldn't mind looking at the fees in the future like you're suggesting, but they are what they are in my mind for now. And so I don't like to make exceptions because then you're picking one group over another, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't want to kind of go down that path, maybe, because then you're going to say, well, you did it for these folks.
Exactly.
I think we need to I agree with Commissioner Morgan, we need to sit down and just say, let's just review this and say, is this...
Yeah, should we make it free?
If it's fair, then that's the policy.
Or should there be a one-time $50...
Can we find out how many rentals for that space we've even had in the last 3 years?
Yeah,
and have we waived the fee on anybody? The
That's
only one I can think of that we have is the Chamber and the Courier, because we see that as a political, not a political, a public service for them to televise that meeting for the candidate forums. But to me, that's... the only thing that comes to mind. And
well, those are certainly public services and not necessarily some private entity coming in to try.
Correct. And at some level kind of falls under Josephine County because we're members of the chamber who's hosting it for, but anyhow, okay, so I would kind of like to know that information before making a decision. And when is the event?
31st of August.
Okay.
So there is a little time to look at that, if you like.
Could we rediscuss it? I mean, do we want to put it on? Does it need to even go to a weekly business session? This isn't something we would normally...
I don't think so.
Right. So, but maybe we can revisit it Tuesday morning at the general session in the morning.
So we're not making a decision today.
Let's get the other information.
Tuesday should be soon enough for them, yeah.
All right, so the next one I asked to be on here. So we had the White House trip that you guys approved, and I believe that is on the 10th of September.
Yep, 10th, 11th, and...
So 12th. At the same time, the night of the 10th, the 11th, and the 12th, NACO is hosting a PILT flyover, so the two adjacent days, where they are having an advocacy for the renewal of the payments in lieu of taxes and meetings with different departments and stuff like that. So I asked for, if I'm already going all this way, it would be nice to know that I can get some other meetings in. So I've requested a meeting with BLM to talk about mining and aggregate. And I would also like that meeting to incorporate the decommissioning of roads at a higher level.
That they follow their own policy on decommissioning a road because they absolutely did not include Association of Oregon County.
But I want to make sure that's on the topic list and I get Rocky or you to give me the talking points that we give it right.
Yeah. I think anything you can build on the front or back end of this trip as extra meetings is economy in motion.
So I would
encourage you to do those.
My thought is that I would potentially go on Sunday, try to get meetings on Monday, but I need to get the emails out to see what emails I can get. I have one into BLM already. But this is kind of in there, but I didn't want to even assume without a blessing from you guys on the travel extension. Because housing is expensive.
PILT is pretty important to this county.
It is.
Yeah. Financially.
And the fact that I'd already be there for the White House one to not stay for the 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But I need your blessing.
You'd have mine.
Yep.
Okay.
And you got Dan's.
Okay, so I haven't made travel arrangements yet because I wanted to make sure that we covered. If I can get some meetings on Monday, do you guys bless that as well? Or I'll try to get them in the 10th, 11th, 12th window.
If it was Monday as well, I think that'd still work. You're only adding one.
Still want to be costly. Cost conscious. Yes.
Oh, I think gotta fly home and then fly back out.
Okay.
Go to Florida.
I am going to miss that Monday's AOC meeting in Salem to do this.
I'll go.
Okay, so then the other one is the West Coast Utility Commission's Wildfire Dialogue is hosting a meeting on August 16th, which is Fair Week, in Portland, talking about the climate change issues of Washington, Oregon, California, and the power shutoffs and different stuff like that. And I did not know if this is something any of us wanted to attend. I personally, my opinion is our fair is a higher priority, but I don't want to make that call for anybody else. And it's the Friday of our fair. So, but I thought it'd be worth pointing out to us so we can look at it if it's something somebody wants to go, or is there a staff person we should send, or should we just...
Emergency management, maybe. But I think it's just a box checker for Pacific Power. Nothing's going to come out.
It's not even from Pacific Power. It was an organization.
It's a utility commission. This is where they're going to.
And
joint action framework. It looks like a...
I'm just glad it's Fair Week.
Okay.
Yep. So I don't so have to
have
go.
An excuse.
Okay.
Because Fair Week to me is more important than...
So maybe we can send
emergency management staff or...
Or even a sorry, we can't make it.
I don't think it warrants our emergency management staff because we're way ahead of the curve down here anyway.
That's true.
It's that they need to respond to what we're asking. We know what's wrong, and they're not fixing it.
Okay.
So
there was also an email we received from Andrew Schroyer. He was at one of the Wolf Creek meetings, and he is interested in applying for the Oregon Historical Trail Foundation grant to do improvements to the triangle in front of the Wolf Creek Inn. I had responded, I looked up on the GIS, and what I could show was this is the state of Oregon owns all the property, and including the piece in front of the road, but there's apparently a triangle that is outside of that, and I tried to inquire with our GIS. I called Bob or emailed Bob Noyce, our GIS guy, Connie Roach, and Bob's response is he thinks it's just right of way.
That's what I would think.
And Connie thinks it is as well, and sent me a map to include that. So of which I don't. We could potentially do. I mean, there may not be a harm in applying if Sarah wants to partner with him in that way, but I don't. It doesn't appear we. Or, he claims that in the past, his response to me was, the small triangle of property in front of the inn that's owned by Joe Co. We landscaped it and put a wagon out there. It's where the Applegate interpretive panels are. And this is actually the Wolf Creek Inn guy.
Right, and they did a nice job rehabbing that triangle.
So he would like to partner with us to do get some grant there. I didn't realize that's who
he was. I can't imagine.
He's the proprietor of the Wolf Creek Inn.
We don't want to stop him.
Yeah. So if we're willing to partner, I can reply back that the board supports going for this grant. Please work with Amber and Sarah.
I've been pursuing it. If there's any interest in the get-along when he applies for the grant, they're going to say no. So.
Okay.
Well, it'd be nice to have a welcome to Wolf Creek sign on there as well. I don't know if that's appropriate on whose property, but if it's ours, we can allow that if they want to put a sign up.
All right. I'm just responding to his email saying we endorse pursuing these improvements. Please work with our parks director and our grant administrator.
Sounds good. That was one of your first matters from commissioners?
That was one of my first matters of commissioners. I should have asked you guys first. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I don't think we have to go in the same order every time.
Okay, I have two more subjects then.
Carry on.
So one of them is I received a, we had pursued looking at evaluations of department heads, and I got a response back from the coaching and consulting person that had been recommended to me by some other Southern Oregon people.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially because we have not done any evaluations in several years, the first kind of hurdle would maybe be a big one, and then it would get us on an ongoing process.
Right, we'd have some criteria to start with and evaluate next year as well.
So she consulted with some colleagues up in the Portland area to try to come up with a scope to see what they would recommend. And a 360 the response is the 360 evaluation process is about building core competencies, leadership skills, and growth. It's meant to provide a 360 view to help a person evaluated see their work and style from different perspectives and then use the themes that emerge to anchor in great work skills and to evaluate performance that can be better. Then that work is used to create strategies and goals to build those skills. Monthly or quarterly check-ins would then work to establish progress and needed adjustments. So it kind of gives you a framework of saying this is how the person is seen from different perspectives. And then based on that, kind of the goals that you'd like to see that department head work on for individual personal growth over the next year, and you check in to see how that process is going. Given that this is time-intensive process, it would take considerable time designing, collecting, compiling data, analyzing data of approximately 75 people, creating individual reports, and meeting with each department head twice. I think it would take several months to complete. There are risks to a 360 tool. These include maintaining strict confidentiality. If a rumor mill were to start, it could be devastating. An employee feeling there are built-in biases in the questions, and a lack of follow-through with goal setting and continued performance reviews with action planning that holds people accountable. Having said that, the process is not quick and it's expensive. I was surprised when I added up the hours. Another idea would be to see if a similarly sized county has a proven process that you would like to use instead. A third idea would be to set up an evaluation process that would not be a 360 view of performance, but would be between commissioner and department head. So she gave a proposal of an outline. Okay, so she's looking at a 5 to 6 month process to do it appropriately. For individualized evaluations of 15 department heads with peer evaluations and one coaching session for the year ahead. So not only would it be an evaluation, but they would offer professional coaching of those ways they can work on any of the improvements they would need. The cost project of the bid is $22,500.
There was a number in there of 72 individuals or 75?
75.
What does that mean?
So with each person that is a 360, how it usually works is you would look at if there's peers feeding in, employees, if it's a public facing, or you'd get the one of us, what's our perspective of working with them, what's, so let's use HR as an example. So HR would probably solicit feedback from other department heads, their staff, the idea is you get our...
And that one could branch out further because human resources touches so many departments.
Correct.
Right, whereas some other ones may not have as many evaluators.
Yeah, you can't just say this is who you would question for each department because, say, facilities, for instance, they may have a public branch in some of the contractors they've used, so they would maybe reach out to some of the contractors, say, what was your experience like working with responding to an RFP, with response to this, how was the professionalism, how was the communication, how was the feedback. The idea is to get feedback from more than just what is our interaction one-on-one with that department head. Is it enough to actually evaluate how they're doing and meeting goals? Are we aware? And so I should read this full letter to you so I don't have information that you don't. Because
forward it to us?
Oh, I could.
That'd be swell.
Okay. I will just forward you the email to all four of you. Let's see. So
yep. And then let's put it on a future agenda so we can talk about it.
Annette. Okay.
Seems like a reasonable amount, I'm happy to say, just on the front end of information. Because
I was very clear that this isn't a gotcha. I care for employee... that we invest in employee, we build that employee, you do professional development, you allow them the training they need. If there's skills they don't have, let's build it. That we're not out to get anybody, and that doesn't serve us well. And so...
No, it's the same. We're looking at performance audit and visioning enhancement, like
correct.
The PAVE committee.
How do you grow somebody that's new?
Yeah.
How does someone become aware of maybe a blind spot, and they can get coaching to help with that? How do we make sure that we're providing the best service? But anyhow, I forward it to you guys so we can revisit that, and afterwards we'll get it scheduled. Probably for a Tuesday versus an admin yet. Okay, Airbnbs are a topic that keep coming up. Mm-hmm. I have had contact with several citizens lately. One is very interesting. Some I call them kids. They were 2 years behind me in high school. So we're all in our 40s now, so we're kids.
Yeah, we're all in our 40s.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Wouldn't
that be something?
Graduated high school here, moved on, had careers. He served 20 years in the Navy. They've always come back. His parents are still here. They come back and they visit. And one of their kids graduated high school, and for her graduation, they wanted to come to Grants Pass. So they have a bunch of kids, and so they, coming back to visit Grants Pass, rented an Airbnb. And I came over for dinner, and I just remember thinking, wow, gosh, this house is huge. It's right on the river. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm going down a private drive to get this house. And I even talked to them about all the discussions we've been having with Airbnb. So I thought it was interesting that I visited an Airbnb rented by friends who grew up here who were coming back to visit. who wanted to be on the river. They rafted, they fished, all that kind of stuff. I happened to get a call and complaint from one of the neighbors regarding that Airbnb, not related to the time my friends were there. It was other people who had been renting it, but the owner lives in California, is not present, is not has never contacted the neighbors, but the people that rent the property then walk the riverfront, not realizing they're going on other people's properties. Just kind of the different process. And he said, we're not against Airbnbs, but we do think you guys should have some process of looking at them. And where we had last saw it, I had seen what Mark was saying, well, they're just against the rules, period. I don't think that's the answer. But
we need to review the rules.
Well, right now, if you have a second property on your, if you have a property, you can rent it out to somebody else as long as it's more than a month. But anything less than a month is considered temporary, and they say by our code it's not allowed. I think we need to relook at that and come up with regulations and appropriatenesses. Is it a home occupation permit? Well, no, because I don't live there, so I'm not occupying that home. Well, okay, we need to look at businesses on residential. This is what put us in the place of the marijuana thing. Remember how with the marijuana stuff, I wanted to look at it as a home occupation permit and not even look at the type of business, just if you're going to have business in a residential, how does it impact the neighbors, no matter what the business is? And I would love to revisit that policy, those procedures. But the conversation came up again. Darren, I forwarded this morning to you an email I received from one of the vendors at NACO that was on regulations and taxes of Airbnbs.
Oh.
So I forwarded it to you as our liaison and just said FYI.
Okay.
But I don't want to drop that conversation.
You might look up, go to like Lincoln City, because we've rented a house in a place called Olivia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, everything was very, very well controlled. There was some party animals down about four doors down, and there was four cop cars there just like that. And they had authority.
Yeah.
Whereas we, you know, if we're either going to be in the bed and breakfast business or we're not.
Right. And well, we're going to get the lodging tax or we're not.
I don't think us saying no is the right answer.
No, because then those, it forces them to hide.
Well, and I had another citizen contact me too, because here's one that's kind of related. They have, their property was developed in the 50s. So as far as permits in the 50s, probably weren't any, but they haven't.
Not till 73. 74.
But there are two legitimate houses on that property. Mm-hmm. They wanted to do wedding venues on their property, and they can do mass gathering permits or small, you know, gathering permits or this and that. And what's interesting is I had somebody contacting me, one of my high school friends, her daughter is going into her senior year in college, and they're looking for a venue to have a wedding. And the new thing is to do weddings in the country and different things. And when they contacted our planning department, said there is no wedding venue possibility in our code. And why can't somebody? I mean, one of the events they hosted was a bridal shower for some people, and 30 people came over. I don't think that's an event. I can have 30 people at my house and have a bridal shower and it not be a gathering and not impact anything.
That doesn't seem to reach the level.
No, but I mean, we don't even have a small gathering permit until 100 people are there. And then at a certain point, it goes to a mass gathering event, 500. Different stuff. Mm-hmm. So I struggle with our planning department making decisions impacting people and what they're doing on their properties without really running those policies by us. And what we think the freedom
people
should be able to
all
do.
All they're doing is that they're using the tools that's in the box, and if there's no tool in the box. Yep.
And right now,
if everything's a Phillips screw and all you have is a flathead, you're going
to
say, I can't fix that.
So instead of coming back to us and saying, there's been a request for this, and we see it to be something that we're going to see more of, let's develop a policy for it.
Let's develop a policy for it.
And look at White Schoolhouse Road and all of the concerts that are going out there. That's more than for a year.
But it's under 500 people. And so
would any wedding.
Yeah.
I've been to a
wedding. So what's the difference if they shut down the music at 10 o'clock? So we're having citizens reach out. And the planning department's response is, you can have a home occupation permit. And they're like, but it's not my home. It's that second home on my property. I'm living in the other one. I said, no, but the whole property is your home, so that's a home occupation permit. I would just like us to look at those, and when they come across things, they're running it by somebody other than, oh, it doesn't fit in our box, we're just going to say no. Well,
right.
This isn't going to be a one-off. This is going to be a more and more and more.
Yeah, this is coming, and I've been to weddings out in the Murphy area. More than one. I don't ever want to say a number because Sean will come back and tell me that I lied. So more than one wedding in the Murphy area, and I don't know if they had a permit for it or not. I mean,
right.
There was maybe 100 people there. They're somewhere in the vicinity of or less, and I don't know if anybody got a permit for it. They just said, yeah, these people opened up their home so I can have a wedding there.
Yep.
Well, and our area is
so alcohol.
So unusual because there's so many residential properties and so few commercial properties
correct.
Along the river
yes.
that you can't have a wedding venue because your neighbors are residential. And so that's what slows it down and chokes it down to that 4 a year to try and not upset the neighbors. But certainly we could look at the policy and see about changing it.
Well, we have
what
we
other
have
counties
one
are doing.
We have one that comes through probably once a week out off of Rogue River Highway out there that just, I mean, this thing is a burr under some people's saddle out there. I saw a really neat sign in a residential neighborhood in Lincoln City, and it was, you know, the guy made it himself, which you're not allowed to make miles per hour signs, but it said, what did it have? 15 is keen and 20 is plenty for miles per hour.
Right.
And it was kind of neat, you know, because it said, you know, we prefer you to go 15 miles an hour. That's keen, but 20 is plenty. Don't exceed that.
Well, and I...
rather than the big stop, and we're going to bust you in.
Because of the
enforcement area.
No, that's great, because it gives a person... Now, I have always responded more when you got someone who says, hey, kids are a play around here. Just be mindful. Just mm-hmm. watch out.
Yeah.
If it were your kid, what would you want done?
Yeah.
But I guess for me, I'm... This week... highlighted where we're missing some gaps and some things
yeah.
in that department
to
do some improvements on communication. And
I think we need to get Mark in the room at the very beginning of it.
Yeah.
Well, I trust Darren to start that dialogue,
yep.
but if the board, I don't endorse us saying no to Airbnbs. I would endorse us coming up with reasonable regulations. I have always maintained, and Julie and I went round and round and not seeing eye to eye, that this is about that we have residential properties and people want to do businesses on those residential properties. So how do we look at the impact on the neighbors with those businesses
right.
and come up with a reasonable process? And they said, well, it doesn't fit in our model. Then change your model.
Right. Then let's look at the model.
Yeah. So anyhow, if that would be something you'd be willing to look at, Darren, I don't
yep.
want to step on toes. But
no, I can take that nudge and move it along.
Perfect.
Awesome.
Although in my matters from commissioners, I won't be able to do it today. It's my 32nd wedding anniversary today.
Congratulations.
Well, that's it.
But I'm going to head off to Bend and have some fun with friends. I will have a house sitter, so please don't try and rob my house while I'm gone.
I know someone in charge of the armory, so it's okay.
Sorry. You have anybody that's legitimate, so I don't kill everybody.
Yeah, there's my don't kill my daughter and my grandson. My official house sitters.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You and Judy both.
I know I'm back in your wake a ways, but I think we're gonna make it to 50.
Matters not. Anything you can do year after year is a milestone. I don't care what anybody.
Boy, says. Howdy.
Especially in this day and age where.
Day and age.
Get rid of that one and go get another one. I'm not changing cars on the model year. I married a Model T and I still like it. So that's too bad.
Beautifully restored Model T, I might add.
Been restored a few times.
Maintained. That's
been restored, maintained a few times. Paint job here and there. A couple scratches and dents. Love her to pieces.
No.
Congratulations.
You guys
enjoy
are
yeah.
A
good couple.
Good job.
Okay, so I know, let's see. next week. We are having a meeting Monday on the BLM Park Exchange meeting. So the next follow-up with that. So
might know some more?
Yep, and just kind of the next plan for that. So that's kind of the big thing next week. There is a Lipstick meeting on Thursday, too, in case you guys have anything for that. if you want to go for me, just as a heads up.
Lipsticking?
The 10th is we're going to have a 80th birthday party for my grandma. And
yay.
We have family coming in on Thursday, so I was going to take Friday off.
For March?
Hasn't seen her sister in over a decade, if not longer, and her sister gets to come. And so there's family that we haven't seen in a long, long time coming. So as soon as Lipstick's over,
I'll just sneak out. Along that line, did you put in for a mass gathering permit knowing how big your family is?
You know what?
I know you're beyond a small gathering.
You need some electronic
cameras.
Have you
notified all your neighbors that you're going to have this mass gathering?
We rented the pavilion at Riverside Park.
Riverside Park.
I was trying
to. Do you have
a
security plan? And
did you warn the homeless?
Yeah, I was trying for White Horse Park, and honestly, because of how many cars were coming and the day use fee is honestly probably why it didn't happen there. So they went to the city park, and I would love us to get to the point that that's not a discouragement from use. But I don't know. So anyhow, it's going to end up at Riverside Park. So.
So
I was pushing for a county park.
Talking about next Thursday?
Yeah.
Well, you know, Judy Ahrens is going to bring that up at the next meeting, that because you were on the city council and live in the city, that you went preferred the city park to a county park.
No, I didn't. I pushed for this county park.
You pushed for the county park.
I was overridden by other family members.
Overridden by other city
members. That's
right. Members,
groupthink.
Yeah. I was the one pushing for the county park.
Yeah, yeah.
And I could show the emails to prove it.
Check
on
my trail. It's there.
So,
Okay.
And then going into Fair Week, was there a sign-up for the booth?
There was.
Okay, I never saw that for some reason.
I've already volunteered for golf cart duty, so I didn't sign up for the booth. And I think, Nicole, you've got a couple of hitches there.
Well, and here's...
And if you,
I'm golf cart every night
from 6 to close.
I haven't got approached on the golf cart.
I've signed up. All the ladies in the office have signed up.
The way I think it went was they were going to have at least 2 staff members in the booth, and we were free to go in anytime we wanted and sit for hours or not.
Okay.
So we could work it out between ourselves if we don't want to all be there.
I like the night shift on the golf cart, mm-hmm. And so I take the 6 to close every night.
But if you're on the cart, you're not in the booth.
No, but I can maybe go earlier in the day. I do have all my nieces and nephews that week.
Awesome.
There you go, another mass gathering. Do you have that mass gathering
permit? Are there any of them veterans? We can get them in.
They're all under 18.
You're just there because you have a veteran in there to get in for free, aren't you? I see this one coming.
I love it. So I plan on going to the booth Wednesday night and Friday and Saturday night.
Okay.
More than likely.
And
hang out. And then if you guys show up and want to be in the booth, I can take a walk. And go see something else.
Yeah.
And Darren, you do know that the booth is a dunk tank, don't you?
No, I did talk with Jason, PIO, about that. And we are going to have a television set up with a rolling screen showing some different stuff. And I've asked him to try and integrate that into the pre-meeting. Presentation over there at Ambassador as well. And so, and we've got the swag coming.
Curry County can do it, we can do it crying in the bucket.
That's how I prodded him. I said, Curry's already doing it, we want to catch up.
I was really impressed with that.
But like I said, we've also ordered the swag for the booth that's going to have the fans and stickers and
logo
t-shirts, all of it with the new logo. We're going to have a tabletop logo display as well, and so we're excited.
One of the things that's extremely popular at the city booth is water. That water.
Oh, water
they get
tank.
It from the water plant.
Okay.
It just happens to be by the city booth, I think.
No, the city staff from the water plant bring jugs and fill that up. So it's not a...
We should do a side contract with them.
I just thought we shouldn't buy water when the city's providing it for free from their own plant.
Right. I could see that.
We should provide something. The county... So do we have... No, I'm just kidding.
Don't
asphalt?
A chunk. Chip seal.
Come by for your
evergreen
twig from one of our county properties.
Driveway repair kit. One quart jar of chip seal.
Oh, my God.
Well, and I'm public health.
Hurry home. That's
lipstick
warm.
And different stuff like that. So I am doing a rotary presentation on county update tomorrow. I'm just going to do a summary on departments. So instead of talking about...
What's the event?
Rotary.
Oh. Okay.
The Friday Rotary.
You're a member now, right?
I'm on the Wednesday Rotary.
Ah.
So this
just presenting at the other.
Correct.
Right.
But yeah.
Boy, Rotary's the ones that have not had the huge struggle with membership like a lot of other groups have. They roll it over better somehow.
They are service-oriented in a way that gives back in the community. I mean, it's kind of like Active Club is stayed strong, but
yep.
I think the ones that keep going are the ones that have a clear vision of what their purpose is, and that's, you know, different sizes of different ones, but they don't fit everything.
And they have activities. There's an awful lot of places that just don't have activities for their members.
Yeah.
Yep.
You've got to keep your membership busy. And
yeah, boy.
You know, for a reason to go
for
to
a good reason, yeah.
Every day you've got to have something new in it, you know, and something exciting and outings and so on and so forth.
Well, kudos to them.
Yeah. Anything else you all could think of that we need to cover today?
Nope. That's it for me.
And I encourage you to have a wonderful weekend. And we will be
already planning
at 11:05.